had not have fallen, then I would not have found.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Los Angeles-based jazz vocalist Jamie Templeton. She opened up about her debut jazz album called The Shape of My Heart. It comes out on February 4th, 2022. During her childhood, she was privileged to study under Margot Hanson, the wife of the famed bassist Chuck Israels. She was an accomplished opera singer that gave Jamie a solid vocal technique and encouraged her to sing classical music. Her professional career began at the age of 20 with an encouragement award from the Metropolitan Opera and flourished on from there. She would then find jazz, and here we are today. Enjoy the story.
Thanks for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. I appreciate it.
Oh, for sure.
It's great to talk to you. And, you know, I think the first question here is, you know, these COVID times have been very strange since March of 2020. A lot of things have happened, but you have a new album out, The Shape of My Heart. How does it feel to get music out and kind of to hopefully be at a point now where we're on the other end of this thing where live shows and promotion can happen in earnest?
Oh, man. It's exciting to have the possibility to go back. To be singing again, and this is my first album in over a decade. It's my first jazz album. It's just so exciting to be able to be, you know, singing again.
Well, talk to me a little bit about the album. How did the album come about? What was kind of the artistic aim?
You know, the album came about, Andy Langham is a fabulous LA-based pianist and arranger. He's a Grammy winner. He works a lot with Pancho Sanchez, and I just lucked out. I met him through a wonderful singer named Marian Cowling, who's kind of a mentor to me. Andy and I just kind of got together. I hadn't been singing for a while. I'd spent a lot of time away from music and honestly was in opera before my break, my break in music, and just knew I really wanted to wrap my voice around some tunes. And so Andy and I got together for months, actually, just with that intent, just with the intention of putting some sets together to get out and start performing again, gigging. It kind of became evident at one point that we needed to do an album, and both of us kind of arrived there at the same time. So we just spent a lot of time combing through favorites and playing with different arrangements and coming from a background of singing really big music. You know, when I left opera, I was doing a lot of belting. I did some R&B. I've been all over the map music-wise, and jazz has always really kind of been my heart, but I've been a little afraid of it. So, just because it's so sacred to me. So coming back to this and just really making the conscious decision that what I wanted to offer was a much more intimate feel and sound than I've been doing for my career. I just really wanted music that moved me, that told a story. Yeah, romance, heartbreak, you know, the things that one goes through in the adult years of life. It's a lot more intimate than anything I've done before, but I just was excited to work with Andy on these arrangements. And then Joel Fromm is an incredible tenor sax player. He's a dear friend who actually, through this whole process, was really encouraging that I just take the leap and have the courage to do it. And so he hopped on a few of the tunes. And just the other guys are just great friends, too. And I don't know, it all just kind of happened organically. It just really came together.
So talk to me a little bit about your beginnings, how you got into music and kind of how you had your flashpoint and got into jazz.
Sure, yeah. I started off really young. I always knew I wanted to be a singer. And I was really lucky. Chuck Israels, amazing bass player, was the head of the jazz faculty at Western Washington University, which was in Bellingham, Washington, where I grew up. And my mom happened to meet his wife, Margot, at a birthday party. And Margot is a phenomenal singer who used to sing frequently at San Francisco Opera. And so she took me on as a student. I met Margot, I think, when I was 12. I was 12 when I started with Margot, actually. You know, she started me on classical technique. I did quite well with it for many years, but I always loved hearing Chuck play. It just was I don't know. It did. You know. I mean. You know. You love jazz. Like, jazz just does something to your soul that if you feel it, you really, really, really feel it. So I ended up going down the classical route, going to college for that. And I had a great voice teacher in college at Manhattan School of Music who said, you're not going to have the typical opera career, because I had a very, very large voice and was heading towards singing Wagner. And she said, go sing everything you've ever wanted to sing, experience life, have a great time, and come back to this when you're 40. And as a kid, it's like, oh, okay. So she introduced me to a guy named Seth Riggs out in L.A., which is where I am now. And he was Stevie Wonder's voice teacher, Michael Jackson, Josh Groban, like big voice teacher. He created a technique called speech level singing, which is kind of the base of what a lot of current popular music is based on now. And anyway, the story is just so winding. But basically, I was singing R&B under Seth. And then, you know, jazz always tugged at me, but it was such a different beast that I kind of would just listen to and love and consume, but didn't really have the opportunity to perform until I was a little older. And I actually got sick. I got Lyme disease, stopped singing altogether, and took a moment and just said, I'm going to consume. I'm going to absolutely consume music. So when I was in New York, I would go to Smalls and Mesdro and smoke and just listen to great musicians. Really, my influence is actually in jazz is drawn a lot more from instrumentalists than singers, truth be told. I just loved going to the clubs and just being encompassed. I miss that so much. But yeah, I met a lot of great, great musicians and really learned a lot from just listening to the horn players. And actually, Cyrus Chestnut was an incredible influence on me, too, in my early days, realizing that you could go from classical to jazz. He did a record with Kathleen Battle that was, like, just an incredibly beautiful album. And she sang in her, you know, normal classical tone, and had Christian McBride and Cyrus Chestnut and just a band of incredible jazz musicians playing under her. And it really opened my eyes to, you know, maybe there's a way over there for me. Probably a really long answer.
No, that's great.
How I landed here.
Yeah, you're fine. And that's kind of, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what was the first live jazz show you saw that really blew you away?
I can't say what the first one was, because I've been seeing jazz since I was a kid, but the one that really, really, really made me decide this is the direction I'm heading back in is, actually, I saw Cyrus Chestnut play at Smoke in New York City, and it was a full circle moment. My friend Chris Beck is a drummer in New York, and he was playing with Cyrus that evening, and it just really solidified, like, oh my gosh, this is the man that I listened to on records for years, and here he is in person, and my friend is playing for him, and this is incredible. And I mean, if you know Cyrus's music, you just know he is like an incredible pianist. He's so sensitive and an incredible interpreter, and you almost forget there's no words when you're listening to him play, because it feels like there's a story behind the music. So I think he's been a huge influence in me, in my career.
So what do you like the best about being a professional musician? You know, this is something you've dedicated your life to. What is the best part of the process for you?
Honestly, it's going to sound cheesy, but really the exchange with the audience. The thing that I love about jazz is that it's never the same performance, you know? Like when you're playing with a band, it's there's a real playfulness and a conversation with the band, but the audience and their vibe really, really affects what we do. And you have to be, you have to have an open vessel as a singer. You can't bring any of your stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to let the music sing through you and play through you as a musician. I don't know, that dance with the audience, you know, when you can look out and you can see that you've moved them in some way, or that they're actually like with you in the music. There's no other feeling than that. I mean, it's just so incredible to collaborate with the audience. I love that feeling.
And obviously, as you mentioned with COVID, you know, you're getting over it. It's been a pretty tumultuous time for everybody. But what did you learn about yourself over this process of quarantine and, you know, kind of being away from life for a while that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as you get out and promote this album and hopefully have live shows here in 2022?
Oh, gosh, Joe, that's a great question. I learned that I'm more determined than I thought I was. In the beginning, where everybody was kind of like, what the heck is happening? I was just coming through being sick. I was kind of ready to enter the world again after having Lyme disease when COVID hit. So I had kind of already done the quarantine thing and been in bed for a long time. So it was like, wait, what? It just felt like a false start. And having the time to really just sit with myself, as all of us did, you know, I did the whole baking thing and what can you do when you're home by yourself? I really think that I learned that I'm a survivor, that I'm strong, and that I have to sing, that music literally is life to me. That's it. That's what I learned. Cool. That music
that's
is
awesome.
Life.
Yeah, that's awesome. So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life, you have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? My gosh. Well, I like to think that I'm somebody who loves people and who genuinely cares about the world around me. I know that to be true. I do definitely care a lot for the people and for the environment and for animals and, like, you know, almost to my detriment, you know. I just feel very, very deeply. Yeah, I would like to think that I am a person of integrity and that I lead with my heart.
Beautiful. Jamie, thank you for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest singers in Los Angeles, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Jamie for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.